Welcome to the Honors Podcast. My name is Mukund Desibatla, and I'm a double major in physiology and neurobiology and Spanish. I'm here with Vinayak.
Hello, everybody. I'm Vinayak. I'm currently a junior studying molecular and cell biology with a minor in Spanish.
We are here today with Serena Verma. We're very excited to welcome you on the podcast. I hear that you just joined a nutrition lab. Would you mind introducing yourself and elaborating about this study?
Yeah, hi guys, thanks for having me. My name's Serena Verma. I'm a junior in the honors program studying physiology and neurobiology, and I just added a minor in nutrition for exercise and sport. So I recently joined this lab, the Fernandez lab at UConn in the nutritional science department this semester. So what the lab looks at is actually how dietary cholesterol in the form of eggs and different kinds of foods in our diet can affect our health markers, like our blood cholesterol, our blood triglycerides, our blood pressure and blood glucose. And these are all kinds of risk factors that we see for chronic disease, like heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, and all those things. So what we do is we do intervention studies. So we recruit populations of either healthy or patients with precursors for these chronic diseases. And then we introduce things like eggs or choline supplements. So we're looking at the effect that choline, which is a nutrient found in eggs, has on these patients, because it was believed for a long time that actually that the cholesterol in eggs is what's contributing to heart disease in patients. But what we found actually in the recent literature is that cholesterol in our diet doesn't actually correlate to blood cholesterol levels, and our bodies are actually really good at buffering the cholesterol that we eat. So that's been debunked by our lab actually and a bunch of other labs in this field. So what we're studying now is how the effect that choline has on our blood biomarkers, because choline is a substance in eggs that when we eat it and our microbiota start to digest it, they produce this metabolite known as TMAO. And TMAO is actually linked to the precursors of many chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes, hypertension, and that's been detailed a lot in the literature. And what my PI is trying to solve is that does TMAO actually correlate to an increase in these dangerous blood biomarkers? So we're doing an intervention study where we give a population of adults with metabolic syndrome. So these adults have either high resting blood triglycerides, high blood cholesterol, high blood pressure, high blood glucose, or high BMI. And we're going to introduce choline to their diets in the form of either a choline supplement or in the form of eggs, which are very high in choline. And we're going to see if these blood biomarkers change over the 14-week intervention study. And we're going to see if there's a difference in whether they consume the choline in the form of eggs, which would probably be more bioavailable because it's a lipid-soluble nutrient. So we're expecting it to be more effective in the eggs or in the form of just isolated choline supplements. And we're hoping to see that these blood biomarkers don't actually increase, because we want to prove that eggs don't actually, you know, increase your risk for chronic disease.
Right. And that all sounds super interesting. And I know going back to like what you said at the very beginning, kind of before we delve into your project, I kind of want to focus on, you did say that this is kind of your new lab that you recently joined. Going back to that, like, what was a lab that you were in before, or was this your first lab? And kind of before we talk about your project, I want to talk about like where you got started.
Oh yeah, definitely. So sophomore year, I actually started research on campus. I was in the Conover lab, which a lot of PNB students like joined that lab. So I thought, oh, this is going to be great. It's like in my major. It's going to be so interesting. And I joined it and I learned a lot of really good techniques. It's a lab that focuses on the epithelial stem cell lineages in the mouse brain. They also look at neurodegenerative diseases. They look at hydrocephalus, and it's a lot of hands-on wet lab work. We also work with mice. So really great experience, like basic lab like research. And so I really liked that lab, but I found that it didn't really align with my passions. I've always been interested in nutritional science, and I found that I wasn't very motivated to go in, and I found, okay, this is a problem. I have to be able to spend a lot of time here. I want to be able to make a thesis that I'm passionate about, and I want to do something that is effective and I can be engaged in. So I switched labs at the beginning of this semester, and it was kind of a tricky decision because I'm a junior, so it felt kind of late in the game. But I would say that if you're ever not sure about the lab that you're in, like, don't be afraid. You can always switch. Like, junior year is not too late. So I'm very happy with the lab I'm in now, and I don't really have any regrets switching.
That's amazing that under such high pressure, you were able to reassess your priorities and put forth
also.
Your passion. Exactly,
right.
Vinayak. Mm-hmm. And I think it is it's very difficult after you said that you adjusted to Conover's lab. And I think after a full year, it's hard to pull yourself into
A completely new lab.
And honestly, we do... have a lot of appreciation for that, like you were able to do that, which is amazing. I have a question. You also said that you added a minor, and I was just wondering where in this process did you decide to add nutritional science as a minor?
Yeah, good question. So it was halfway through my sophomore year where I decided, like, oh, I actually have room to study something that I'm super passionate about in my schedule. So I added the nutrition minor, and it was about, I think, 7 extra classes, so not a super small minors, but I'm very happy with what I did. I got to take intro to nutrition last semester. I'm in a kinesiology class now, and I love it. And I have to take like metabolism and nutrients next semester, and I think it goes really well with PMB, especially if you want to go to med school, because I feel like there is so much there can be so much room for improvement in nutritional training, especially in med school. So I'm very happy that I added this minor.
Okay, now getting back to your project, I know you kind of explained how, like, the full plan for your project, and I guess where I want to start at is, like, how were you able to come up with this project, and kind of, like, who served as, like, a mentor to you to try to produce this type of, like, thinking to try to even come up with the project? Because I know we're all undergrads, and it's difficult as it is with our classes, and... we always have that one mentor who's able to help us, like, kind of get through, like, procedures, like, trying to come up with ideas and then make it a full-fledged plan. And I know you kind of just explained it's a really thought-out plan. So I just want to know, like, if someone served as a mentor to you in that process.
Yeah, so because I just joined this lab, I haven't put forth my own project yet. This has been in the works for a long time because, as you probably know, if you want to work with human subjects, if you want to work with, you know, their bloodborne biomarkers and all, you have to get extensive approval. So this has been in the works for some time. I'm just joining in, right. But definitely I'm going to be hoping to do my thesis in this lab. I have been having ideas to look at the microbiota of our participants and seeing if there's any differences in that. But so far I'm just helping out with the study that's already underway.
That is really intriguing that it's already tough I guess, as Vinayak already pointed out, to think of something on your own, but it's not as easy to jump on a project that has so many, it's so interactive, has so many like, randomized participants, and I think that's a very exclusive opportunity that you joined this semester. Mm-hmm. I have another question. So you mentioned when you talked about TMAO and a lot of the stereotypes that are attached to eggs and high cholesterol, or at least correlation to high cholesterol. So what stereotypes do you believe the research that you're part of is fighting? And also, have you seen this in any of your classes that for your newly added minor?
Yeah, definitely. Like when we grow up learning about nutrition, we are taught with the very traditional, like the FDA guidelines. So back in, I think it was the 80s, they just set these guidelines very arbitrarily that you can only have about 3 eggs worth of cholesterol every 2 days or something. Because when cholesterol was first discovered, they said, oh, this substance in food looks very similar to the substance that is creating these like atherosclerosis and these like plaques in our blood that is causing heart disease and all. So they said, let's put a limit on it so we don't get heart disease. And they thought that would work. But as you can see with our history in the United States, it's obviously not working. So one of the stereotypes that my lab is trying to fight, obviously, is that cholesterol that we eat doesn't correlate to cholesterol in our blood. We have HDL, we have LDL cholesterol, as you know, and actually when we take in cholesterol, it is not just going to deposit it in our LDL cholesterol, it's going to HDL cholesterol, it's going into our membrane structures, it's going to produce hormones and all. So there is so much turnover happening in our bodies, it's not very just like linked linearly. So that's one thing we're trying to fight, and we've already put out papers to kind of debunk that myth, so that's where we're headed right now.
Being in this new lab, how have you become accustomed to like the new practices, I guess? Does it differ a ton from your last lab?
Yeah.
or are you able to use like the similar techniques? I know you talked about you used a lot of wet lab techniques in your old lab, and how has that kind of like led you and made you more prepared for the lab you're in now?
Definitely. Good question. So the one thing I love about nutritional research is that there is the wet lab component where we take their blood and we screen for the biomarkers and we do all kinds of like assays and stuff. But there's also a lot of behind the scenes work where we're recruiting participants. We're talking to people. We're doing the literature. We're actually writing down all their dietary records. We're analyzing their exercise records. So I really like that because in the lab right now, one of my biggest roles is maintaining dietary records and exercise records, and that is a lot of just like computer work and data analysis. So I kind of like that because it's not just, you know, you're not just like mindlessly pipetting in a lab all day. I like it because you can actually see the results. You can see the actual participant data like before and after. You can see the implications of your work. And another thing is that you get to talk to people, and I got a lot of practice explaining the project to people through joining this project. So I thought that was really good to help with my science communicating. You get to actually see how people view science on the outside. So I like that in that respect.
That's amazing that you've already been able to attach purpose to your commitment to this lab, and that's really important in driving you forward. And another question that I had was, what future directions do you envision, not just for the project you're on now, but thinking ahead in the future, your honors thesis you already mentioned, and even past that, like where do you believe this will take you? Because this is clearly a passion that has been in the works, and now you finally got to the point where you're directly involved in the research. Yeah. So where do you see this taking you?
Definitely. Good question. Something I've been struggling with a lot, definitely, as a junior. People expect you to just, like, know exactly what you're doing in the future all the time. And I came in as a pre-med. I've always been looking at med school as the end goal. And so I still have that drive in me, but I definitely have been experiencing, like, what it means to do research, what it means to be in, like, a nutritional lab. And I never really liked research that much, but now I'm kind of like, oh, it's not just, you know, going to lab and mindlessly doing things. It actually has meaning, and it can have an effect in the world. So I've also been thinking about getting master's or doing my PhD. So I'm definitely thinking about that. I'm very interested in the microbiome, especially. I feel like that's the next frontier of nutritional research. I don't know how much you know about that, but because there's so much discrepancies in our microbiota and the ratios of the bacteria, that has actually been found to be one of the precursors for metabolic syndrome and obesity and diabetes. And it's so interesting because it's this thing that we don't think about or sometimes we can't control that could be contributing to disease. So I think that would be definitely something I would want to do my thesis on or pursue a doctorate degree in.
That's super interesting. I know, like, you kind of have at least an idea of where you want to bring this, like, lab experience to now. Mm-hmm. I guess a question for me is, for like, the people who are listening right now, what would be, like, kind of your 2 cents on how to get involved in research? Because I know even though you were researching for a year, you kind of wanted to, like, follow your passion. Mm-hmm. And now you're in a lab that you're more excited about. I guess what would you say to your younger self in like trying to decide a lab? Like, should she just go with like the lab that's kind of towards
good,
the major,
yeah.
or like, or should you
what
like
you actually want? Yeah,
right.
Very good question. Yeah. So when I was thinking about what I wanted to do my research in, so I would recommend to anybody. I know they have a lot of events, like they have these PNB networking events. They have all these kind of talks, like where you can go and talk to the professors about their research, and those are great. But I think the number one starting place that we can all go is just look up your department and then just write UConn faculty and just read everybody's lab website and maybe look into a couple of their publications. Get a real sense for what kind of research they're doing, like what the lab environment is. Is it a wet lab? Is it like a data analysis lab? Is it a little bit of both? Look at, do they have undergraduates? Like, do you want to be with other undergraduate students, or do you want to have more of like an independent role in this thing? Think about if they have grad students, like, do you want to be working with a grad student? Do you like that? There's so many factors I could go on all day, but I think the most important thing is research before you research. I went through so many labs, and I actually had like the first week of sophomore year, I had like 12 meetings with like different labs because I just emailed. I'll talk about how you should approach this too. And then I met with so many professors that first week of sophomore year. And then I think I chose the Conover lab because it was in my major. There seemed to be other undergrads in that they liked what they were doing. The research seemed interesting, but if I could go back and talk to myself, I would definitely say, hold on, are you actually passionate about this subject? Are you just joining this because it would look good or you think it'll push you to like it? But I would recommend definitely look up a department that you already have some passions in. Like even if you're a PNB major, you can do your thesis outside PNB. I think that's one thing we forget. I almost joined a really cool kinesiology lab. Like there's so many subjects out there. Like if you like EEB, if you like pharmacy, like there's so many labs. So just keep looking through those faculty directories and then when you find someone you like, definitely sit down and take some time to write a good a well-crafted email. I would say read a couple of their publications, see what you like. Definitely mention their research specifically in their paper and mm-hmm. Your email, and ask them a couple questions. Like they want to see that you're engaged, you're thinking about it, and you're ready to actively participate. And then just say can we meet sometime? And honestly,
most of the time it works.
Sometimes, yeah. I would say I sent 35 emails mm-hmm. at the beginning of sophomore year, and I got back 12. Yeah. So just go for it.
Right. Yeah. Those are really important words, and I'm glad that you've been able to discover that for yourself and recommend that mm-hmm. incoming students or students who want to get involved in research now, this is something that they should really prioritize. Mm-hmm. And it is really important. I think ultimately these experiences do help you grow. And one big thing that we've been able to talk about on this podcast is growth as a leader. And I mm-hmm. just wanted to just kind of open this up at the end yes, you had all these experiences. There were definitely some hindrances, but I think the place you are now has definitely 100%. It's better than where you were before. Yeah. And how has this last year of trying to connect with all these faculty mentors? How has that helped you grow as a leader?
That's a good question. Yeah. I feel like when someone says the word leader, it can mean so many different things. So for example, a leader could be starting your own project, going for your thesis. But in my experience, being a leader was more just carving my own path and discovering what I really liked in life. So I think, I definitely grew as a leader this semester because I took charge. I looked through so many labs and I figured out what I liked. I met with people. I really just took control of my research experience, and I definitely grew from that. And then I found that when I did join my lab, I got more leadership experience because it wasn't a big lab and they gave me more responsibility than I had in my other lab, and that really pushed me to grow as well. So definitely grew a lot this year.
That's amazing. Serena, thank you again for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And we're really happy for you that you've been able to navigate and offer such great advice to all of our listeners. Thank you again for coming in here in the studio and talking to us about your experiences.
And hopefully you're able to craft that senior thesis soon enough.
And for all of our listeners, we'll have Serena's details down below if you want to contact her about any of her prior research experience.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Serena. And we'll be back next week with a new story.
Thank you.